Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, hi. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you. That is, I have to be honest, our favorite part of the week, and gives us an excuse to crawl out into the sunshine, out of our little caves, look around the world at large, and see what might be happening so that we can tell you all about it.
Listen, if you're not a patron, you don't know anything about CBD.
Yeah. We had a long, long bonus content session today. If you would like to know what the heck we're talking about, head on over to patreon.com/itsathing, where you can become a supporter of the show and get basically, at least this week, a whole other podcast tacked on to this one.
You think you know about CBD, maybe, but you don't until you listen to this bonus content.
And we learned it all from the Discord.
We really
did.
Which
is another thing you can do if you're a patron of the show.
Go to patreon.com/itsathing, become a member, and then hook up Discord, and the server will just appear when you link your Discord account to your Patreon account. And then you can come in and chat and talk to us even while we're doing the show.
During the show, you can chat with us live. I know that we're doing a lot of the fundraising up top here, but really it's just because like we've been having so much fun with the patrons that we want you all to get this opportunity. Because
exactly.
It is delightful.
What should we begin with? Shall I start?
I believe you should, yes, because it's so timely. You have a timely thing.
Yeah, a few weeks ago I mentioned hockey, and you know, we can't win everything. But I have been watching a lot of the finals of sports, and that means that I have actually been watching the finals of the NBA, which I don't always watch, but I found the idea of the Warriors again in the final against Toronto fascinating. And of course, that led me to discover the whole Drake drama that has been going on. Because Drake, if you don't know, is a rapper. You probably know that. But if you don't know that, he is also a huge fan and has been for years of the Toronto Raptors basketball team. Mm-hmm. He is an ambassador. I don't know if he's actually paid, but he is an official.
He's there official, yeah.
Yeah, he's an official ambassador of the team. There's rumors that he even has his own stall in the locker room. He shows up at most of the games. I think every game he can possibly get to. He helped design a jersey. He does a Drake night every season, like way into this team. And of course, now they're in the NBA finals. He is over the moon to the point that people who aren't in the Raptor universe are suddenly just having an avalanche of Drake filling their eyeballs.
And they're basically like, what is the deal with Drake? Because he is on the court. At one point, he was like on the sidelines, on the court, giving the Raptors coach, whose name, by the way, is Nick Nurse, which is hysterical, at like a shoulder massage. I mean, people were just like, what the heck? He's apparently been their official ambassador since 2013. So it's he is in no way a bandwagoner. And they just credit him with a ton of energy. But then it's also this sort of hilarious thing because I guess like the NBA talked to him about how his antics on the court were a little inappropriate. And then that caused everybody on Twitter to be like, oh, it's fine when Jack Nicholson and Spike Lee do it at Lakers games, but it's not okay when it's Drake. Why? Because you hate Canada. I made up that last part, but probably because Twitter. And it's hilarious.
We were actually talking about this on Good Day Internet today. Like, did Jack Nicholson do crazy things on the sidelines? I guess he did.
Yeah. I mean, they would like jump up and they'd be kicking and shouting.
Yeah.
And, you know,
Spike
the whole
Lee is a little more animated. I think of Jack just sort of scowling a lot, but yeah.
He used to be younger.
There's definitely precedent, right? Yeah, that's true. He did. There's definitely precedent for the celebrity sideline supporter. And I can't tell how much of this is just the rest of the world outside of Toronto discovering that this has been going on and being like, whoa, that's a lot of Drake all at once.
It is. I gotta say, it is a lot of Drake, and it's just really a fun story. And they, like, Vulture had this hysterical thing that was like a timeline of Drake being ridiculous during the NBA playoff. And he's over the top. Like, let's be honest. And the Vulture piece starts, "If you're a person who thinks Drake is the worst, these NBA playoffs have been a small slice of hell for you."
I mean, who thinks Drake is the worst? I almost said who doesn't like Drake. There are plenty of people who don't like Drake, I'm sure. But
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
He's like, you know, he's pretty aggressive courtside and whatever, but I don't care. I think it's hysterical.
I know he was trolling, Curry, I guess, yesterday.
He and Draymond had some exchanged some words, I think, on okay. the but all you know right. what? Fine. Like, it's all part of the thing. I have to say that I am really struggling with these playoffs or these finals because obviously Warriors, I live in Oakland, I've been a fan for a long time. I am not a bandwagoner that much. I've been a fan since at least 2012.
You recognize
when they were still losing. They were still
you
losing.
You recognize
a lot.
The phrase, "It's a great timeout."
Exactly.
That's how far back. Okay.
That's Let's how just far get, back.
Yeah.
Okay. It's real. But I have a secret love for the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard. So it's been kind of difficult. But also, can I go back to Drake drama in general? Because I think he's just a little drama. Like, I think
anybody who's followed his rap career knows that he's gotten in beefs. It's not like he's the one guy in hip hop that doesn't get in beefs. He totally gets in beefs.
Also, I think he's like the Taylor Swift of rap music makers. Like, he's like cursed in love.
There ain't no I in team, but you know there is a me, and me is Drake in this
me
case.
Is Drake the me is Drake. He's over the top. It's hilarious.
I thought it was hilarious because I really hadn't been following this all through the playoffs, but I thought it was hilarious last night when the announcer towards the end of the first half says, "Oh, and he dives in past you know who," meaning Drake, and the color commentator is like, "You can say his name, it's Drake." And he's like, "I was trying to get through the whole half without saying his name."
Oh my God, that is hysterical. Yeah, I mean, like it is really, like, more than anything, it as in the drama around Drake being so drama at NBA games is a thing. In fact, there's a great piece in The Ringer that I just popped in the Discord headline, "Drake is the true villain of the NBA finals."
But he's so nice most of the time.
Is he though? I feel like this is a Canada conversation. Like, is Canada really nice?
Listen, my theory has been that Canada is nice because they direct all their rage into hockey. so
they take it outlets.
All they I take it all out on the ice. Maybe some of that rage does go into Drake.
Maybe. He's a fired up guy. He
maybe hockey isn't the only heat sink for Canadian rage that makes them polite.
Man, I really want to make an absurdity that says heat sink for Canadian rage.
And a picture
like
of
that
Drake.
Is a poetic turn of phrase. And it's just like a picture of a hockey stick or you know,
a hockey stick. Yeah, it's perfect.
That's incredible.
Yes, that's incredible. Please go forth. Make this t-shirt. I will buy one.
While I am enjoying the NBA finals, my child, who is not interested. Also, okay, wait, hold on. I got to go back to Canadian NBA based on something I just saw. Or NBA. If the Raptors win, I mean, I guess the NHL is still the NHL, but doesn't it at some point become the International Basketball Association? World Basketball Association? Like, isn't Canada getting a little annoyed that we keep calling it national basketball or national hockey?
They created the National Hockey League and then added a majority of U.S. teams and didn't change it to the International Hockey League. So that seems fair to keep the NBA NBA, right?
I mean,
also,
I guess.
National League used to have the Montreal Expos. It doesn't anymore. But right. The American League has the Toronto Blue Jays.
Okay, all right.
But America does
practice.
Apply to North America. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It's clearly accepted practice. But as Rich points out, producer Rich, Major League Basketball. Or Major League Baseball, but Major League Baseball covers
Major
all
League
the
Baseball is the name for the two
all
leagues,
the bases,
together.
So to speak. But
it doesn't matter if they win or not; if they're still in the
they're
National
still in
Basketball
it, and so it
Association,
could be,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyway, while I'm watching the finals, my child will not be because he has decided that he is not interested anymore. And what he will be doing, and this may surprise some of you, he will not be playing Fortnite. He'll be playing Minecraft.
Whoa! It's having its
Minecraft
wave.
Is back. Oh. Big time.
Why?
Like, I don't know. I think that it might be because there's been a bunch of advertising lately about how there's Minecraft 2 coming out.
Okay. Yeah.
There's also the kind of inevitable backlash against Fortnite.
Sure.
Right? Where just everybody was started playing it, and so now it's not cool anymore. Nobody likes that club.
And then there was
club.
The 10-year anniversary of Minecraft, which probably drummed up a lot more.
Yep. That got people all fired up again. Yeah. Exactly. And so now, like, not only is it sincerely cool to be playing Minecraft all over again. In fact, yesterday was the last day of school and my kids stayed up, like basically had a de facto sleepover, except over, you know, multiplayer gaming over a headset with his friend. And they stayed up half the night playing Minecraft.
Wow.
Playing Minecraft. Like they're, you know, about to be seventh graders. And it is just, and it's back in meme form too. And so now they're sharing all these little Instagram memes about how, like, Fortnite is so stupid and Minecraft is so awesome again.
Wow. Fortnite is stupid.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And it's clearly not. They're still playing Fortnite, but they're playing it in that, like, way where...
They're playing it ironically.
No one goes to that club anymore because it's too crowded.
They're wearing Fortnite t-shirts ironically.
Ironically. It's ironic Fortnite t-shirts. There's even like a, you know, like evil like Pepe the Frog meme about how Minecraft is cool again. And so then that's a like a reason to live. God. I mean, it's like, it's kind of crazy how Minecraft is a thing. I like forgot which word I was even saying. Fortnite, Minecraft, they're all getting mixed up in my head. CBD,
I feel
help.
Like this tends to solidify something as a longer term success when it has that second wave, right? Like this
real.
Means that Minecraft is not going to just dissolve. It's not going to fade away like some trends do. They get real hot for a few years and then they kind of fall out. I don't think that's going to happen with Minecraft. I think that means it's here to stay. Jury's still out on Fortnite, whether it'll have a second wave then.
Yeah, I think that's really true, actually. And we won't. That's a really interesting idea, like that we won't know for sure if something's really a thing until its second.
Mm-hmm.
Its second go around. Yeah. I don't
like
know.
Like a perma thing, you know?
It's
like
a perma thing.
Yeah.
Yep. I found something from a.
Is it the Bay City Rollers or the Beatles? We won't know.
We won't know.
And neither are you, because only like five of you get that reference. But
and if you look up Minecraft is cool again, there's all this funny stuff. A ton of it is like from Reddit. There's all these dank memes on Reddit about it being cool again. I don't know. It's interesting. But I guess you could argue that Pokemon is in this category, too, because Pokemon Go came back around and then now it's coming back around again.
Mm-hmm, with the Detective Pikachu.
But yeah, if you're going to try to be all fellow kids and talk about Fortnite, turns out it's a whiff. You got to talk about Minecraft again.
If someone, here's what you do. If someone brings up Fortnite, you say, sorry, you mean Minecraft?
You mean
and
Minecraft?
Then the kids go, oh my gosh, this is a fellow kid. I will now induct you into my secret society.
Oh my God.
You know what also is not as cool as Fortnite anymore?
What?
Personal brands.
Buy
personal
Stop
brands.
That.
Did you hear about the big influencer with millions of followers who only sold 36 t-shirts?
Ouch.
Ouch.
Is that a thing?
That happened today, yeah. But no, there's this Verge article from Ashley Carman talking about the trend of people creating anonymous accounts. Mm. So my favorite example is probably not the best
Jupiter.
Example. Sure, Breadface blog. Which is an anonymous account with the name Breadface, and it's just pictures of people eating bread, and it's ridiculously popular on Instagram, 195,000 followers. And this is like people turning from the pressure of being a personal brand and all of the spotlight and criticism and saying, well, I'm going to have a brand, but no one's going to know who's behind it.
Interesting. Which
so
seems really smart.
Anonymous brand, yeah.
Huh. Breadface, by the way, a little more porny than I expected. So fair warning to
our
listeners.
It is all bread pictures, but yeah.
Not all.
I mean, isn't there bread?
There was a bottom.
It's a fair warning, either way.
Fair warning. Just fair warning. It's a little adultish.
It's Instagram, but it's still...
It's Instagram, so anything can happen. That is really interesting. And I guess when you think, well, I feel like you and I, given our many long years in this industry... probably tried to tell some mainstream media folks that like my 500,000 Google Plus followers were not real and would in no way guarantee traffic.
Do you remember when people would freak out when their Twitter follower count started to go down?
Yeah.
Because Twitter was getting rid of bots?
Yeah.
I'd never...
Do you mean the president? Well, when you say people? I meant
even before the president. But yeah, he was one of them. Like, I'm like, that... No, it's
no.
The internet has never worked that way. The email subscription lists have always been full of crap, and you would do things like it became a thing in the early 2000s when I was still working at Tech TV to do things to get rid of people from your email subscription lists because you knew that a lot of them were either fake or just not paying attention anymore. And you're like, no, I want to know how many people actually pay attention to my email list.
Right.
You know, Twitter, Instagram, all of that stuff, same thing. Like, there's a lot of that number is meaningless unless you can validate how many people are actually paying attention to what you're posting.
Yep.
So there's some of that goes into it, but also just the idea of I don't want to have people coming at me because they think they know who I am because of the fact that they know who I am.
Yeah. And I feel like this is such a good thing. This is such a positive trend to be happening that people are realizing like, oh, it actually is extremely terrible to be so exposed on social media, especially given the outrage culture that defines so much of social media right now. And just like a basic tenet, like a basic acceptance that it might be nicer and safer and emotionally safer to be anonymous.
Although great idea, the other kids. Side of that is people use anonymity to launch attacks and harass and all of that. So anonymity isn't always a good thing.
But this is a good reminder, though, of the times when it is. Because it is safer. Like, there are really times, and that's what, you know, people have argued against Facebook's real names policy for years. Like, there are times when it is legitimately safer. And so the idea of building a brand that isn't based on who you are, where you live, what you look like. Because that can get so... God, talk about the feelings and how ugly that would be. Like, you created an online persona, but people are attacking you and they don't know the difference.
And I've... This is a very small example. I don't pretend to think this is the worst example in any way. But, you know, I've had people who make an assumption about me because they know I live in California. They probably even think I live in San Francisco because I used to, and I'm not L.A., but it doesn't matter. They're like, well, you don't know what it's like in a small town. And that, right. I get that frequently, and I'm like, except for the 20 years I spent growing up in a town of less than 6,000 people. Like, and it's that thing where people think they know you because they're like, well, I see your face and I know what your name is and where you are. So therefore I know everything about you. And that's the minorest. My example is the minorest version of that. Mm-hmm. There's so many worse examples of people laying into someone because of their gender or because of their perceived political point of view or even expressed political point of view.
Yeah. This is so interesting. I love this, the anonymous online thing. And how personal brands aren't cool anymore. Who is the New York Times possibly going to hire when they...
They'll hire ambivalently yours. Pink drawings, totally. Mixed feelings, and ambivalent advice.
The bread thing.
Don't hire the bread thing.
Blog. Supreme copies. Or Lil Jupiter, who is like probably the coolest anonymous or semi-anonymous. Huh. Yeah. I love it. That's a really good one. Well, being attacked personally online...
Mm.
Can lead to my next thing. And that thing is anxiety. Not like I don't have it. I'm just saying anxiety is a thing. Like people are super into talking about their anxiety. It seems to be on the rise with millennials. Mm. And I don't even know. Like maybe people have been this anxious all along and there wasn't ever a good word for it. But I just feel like all of a sudden this sort of like acceptance that everyone has anxiety, talks about their anxiety, has anxiety over this, feels anxious over this, has competing anxiety is like a thing. Everyone's talking about being anxious. And I feel a little left out because I'm not anxious. I don't have that.
Well, are you talking about clinical anxiety or just the feeling of being anxious about something or both?
I don't know. I'm just talking about everybody talking about their damn anxiety. And I don't know what they mean when they say that.
Or that's part of the thing is like we don't know what they're talking about when they say I have anxiety. Do you mean like you're just nervous about something or do you mean like, oh, no, you have an anxiety disorder?
Right. I think they think I think they're just saying, oh, I'm like nervous about this. I have feelings about it. I'm worked up about it. I don't know. But it's become like, when I say it's a thing, I mean, it's like a shorthand. It's just a shorthand for like, I'm having feelings about things or I'm worried about it or whatever. Right. They're just like, oh, I'm having so much anxiety about this. Oh, this is triggering my anxiety. And there's, it's just it's like part of the parlance in this incredibly pervasive and casual way that makes me go, wait, when did everybody get anxiety?
Like usage of the word anxiety,
yeah, I'm a little lost, and it's just it's become part of people's online personas. In fact, there's NatalieD.com anxiety girl, able to jump to the worst conclusion in a single bound. Like people are proud of it; they're super embracing their anxiety. That Shawn Mendes song, "In My Blood," is all about it. And then the thing that really made me. So I've been thinking this for a while, and then the thing that sort of really made me think, like, God, anxiety really is a thing that everyone believes that they have, is this, there was this great Atlantic article that was going around, it was kind of just, it was viral about the, how some people love to be late to the airport.
Oh my gosh, that's
the worst. Did you see this?
Why would you, that gives me feelings of anxiety just thinking about being late to, why would
there
you like
go.
That?
Okay, well, so... That I don't know, right? The article speculated that some people like the excitement. Other people have anxiety about being at the airport, so they push it to the last minute so they won't have to. But then when I was looking at Twitter and reading all of the Twitter comments about this article, which was like there are two kinds of people at the airport, some who like to be late and some who like to be early. Mm-hmm. Every comment referenced anxiety. I have anxiety about being late or not being late, but somehow
I have anxiety about missing the plane. I have anxiety about being at the airport too long. Yeah.
It gives me so much anxiety to even have this conversation. Mm-hmm, like, but somehow all of the parlance was my anxiety. And I just, I'm fascinated by it. I don't know where everybody got it. And I don't know why they all picked it up at the same time. Like, we just used to say that stresses me out, I guess.
Yeah, right. That's what we would say when we mean what most of these people are meaning.
Yeah.
Stress. We would say, oh, I'm so stressed. I'm stressed out.
Oh, yeah, that stresses me out.
I'm really stressing about X, Y, and Z.
Yep.
Anxiety like, has started to replace stress, it sounds like.
Yeah. And it's almost more of a usage word. And I don't know if it necessarily means that everybody has more anxiety. But certainly if you look at like pop sugar, then they're like, in the digital era, everyone has more anxiety. But so then there's like this, you know, this young person, like this sort of millennial sounding person or younger, maybe Gen Z person wrote this article and quotes her friend saying, when my anxiety gets really bad, I have to post a selfie. And I'm like, wait, do you have anxiety or
that
do you just
one
think
of the most millennial
do?
Sentences I've ever heard.
I mean, right. Like I just like somehow anxiety goes hand in hand with a certain age group right now. And I'm like, wait, so now I'm hella old because I only have one tattoo and I don't have anxiety? Like, this is a sign of my age? Oh, my Lord.
You know, I have an anxiety disorder.
Oh, I didn't.
Yeah, no, I literally do.
Oh.
I have panic attacks.
Tom,
and I
used how am I just learning this?
Well, because I don't talk about it all the time.
Peanut. Well, now's your freaking chance. Talk about it constantly, apparently.
No, I've talked about it before. I haven't hidden it. I've even mentioned it on Twitter because it's just a thing. It's like I have, you know, I don't know, measles or cold or something, you know, like the recurring thing. It's not, I don't think of it as a drama thing that I need to parade around or be embarrassed about. Either way.
Right.
It's just a thing that happens. Now, I got... I was treated for it in various ways over the years. The thing that finally worked for me that has made a big difference is my doctor sort of traced it down to being a thyroid deficiency.
Oh,
so I started taking thyroid medicine and it helped a ton, like incredible amounts. But yeah, so that's why I asked right off the top, like, does everybody suddenly have like
what do they mean?
Anxiety? Or is this... It sounds like it's mostly just people using it to mean stress, nervousness, etc.
It is, yeah.
Which is fine. I don't mind in a weird way. Like normalizing anxiety as a like, yeah, it's just a thing that happens is net positive, really. Because people should be able to talk about it and not feel embarrassed and not feel like they're looking for attention because it's just a... It can be caused by all kinds of different things, first of all, and it's just a glitch in the way your system works that, you know, you can treat.
Yeah. Well, and I will say it is true that the kind of ongoing conversation about it and the casual usage is leading to a lot of positive conversations about it in the mental health context. And so while I was researching this and whether it was a thing, I found a whole article in HuffPo about, or HuffPost, I guess they are now, about Carson Daly, who talked about how he has generalized anxiety disorder. So not like I'm anxious and I need to post a selfie, but, you know, I had to take medication. And right.
He posted the selfies. It didn't work.
It didn't help. And so he has this whole, but so then, you know, like outpouring of support and all of these people on Twitter talking about how they have their own anxiety. And so I think generally the very positive sub thing is that there is a ton more acceptance about the fact that, like, we all need a little help. We all feel overwhelmed. I saw that burnout is now considered a medical condition.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is incredibly positive. It really is. And it probably is helped, actually, by this kind of casual parlance about people's anxiety. The only thing that makes me a little nervous about it is, like, when I hear my 12-year-old talking about his anxiety, and I'm like, wait, it's not a fad.
Right.
You know, like,
let's not just jump on the bandwagon.
Let's not, right. Like, don't get on the anxiety bandwagon just because that's what all the kids on the gram are talking about. Like, you don't have anxiety. You are not.
This is like in fourth grade, my friend Jeff Peterson broke his arm. And I was like, I want to break my arm because he gets getting all the attention, right? You know, it's like, no, that's not, you don't want to do that.
Yeah. It's like anxiety is the new emo for kids.
Right.
And I'm like, whoa. Anyway, it's fascinating. It really is. And I guess you raise an excellent point with your sharing. Thank you. I had no idea, and I feel like a bad friend.
Gosh, no. Please don't.
But it is a really good point that it actually probably does help for it to be in the casual parlance. Like, yes. Oh, I'm depressed.
It's
like,
it can
oh,
be
okay,
good
that's
and
normal.
Bad. Normalizing it is good. Making it a trend that everybody wants to have is not good.
Well, yes.
Because then people stop believing you if you've really got a problem. They think, oh, you're just trying to, you just take a selfie, you'll be fine.
Take a selfie. It's no big.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the thing about a panic attack is it usually isn't caused by anything.
Right.
It's usually just, it's a thing you have to ride out, and knowing that is half the battle. Like, okay, I'm not actually dying. I'm not having a heart attack. It's just a thing I got to ride out. It helps you get through it. But part of that is knowing that the people around you can support you and all of that. And so you wouldn't want everybody to go, oh, he's pretending to have a panic attack.
Right.
Because it's cool.
Because it's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know if they're on to panic attacks yet, but frankly, I'm not sure. It's that it's that culturally
might get there.
Pervasive that it might get there. Yeah.
I think we should take a step back now and congratulate ourselves.
I think I know where you're going here.
Uh-huh.
And I think I agree.
Did you see, I think we've I don't know if it's, I would call it peak yet, but we are definitely still rising in the Old Town Road Lil Nas X trend. With the viral video this week of the seven and eight-year-olds, like, screaming at the top of their lungs the lyrics to the song as he's playing it to them, and you could tell he's even like backing up a little, like, whoa, these kids are way more into my song than I expected.
He's like, wow, the internet is much more powerful than I thought it was. Holy,
I have messed with dark forces
cow
that I did not previously understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just like, again, it's sort of like the marker of what makes something a thing versus just like a popular. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, that was a popular, but it transcended and it just went, it's like bananas.
Yeah. I thought it was going
phenomenon.
To fade out recently. And then it just like got its second wind too.
Oh my
just
God.
Like Minecraft.
I know. And now it's like viral all over again. Oh my God. That was a really cute video. Those children. That was a Friday video right there.
Also, it was used in a trailer.
It was? Oh my
yeah,
God.
And now I'm blanking on the trailer.
Huh.
But it was used in a trailer recently already, you know? It's still on the charts.
I will say that the probably the best thing about that conversation is that it raised my awareness of the Yeehaw agenda.
Rambo Last Blood uses Old Town Road in its trailer.
Oh, no way.
It does.
What? Okay, I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to YouTube that immediately.
Also,
after
Rambo
the show is
Last
over.
Blood.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm like, wait, what?
Genius.
That's a thing? I didn't know that was a thing.
Coming this autumn.
I love this show. Speaking of people who love the show, Sam wrote in, see what I did there?
Nice.
And said, longtime listener since the early BOL days, first time caller. Welcome, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm 30 years old, Sam writes, and I remember struggling through cursive all through primary school. It got so bad that my grade 5 teacher gave me summer homework to practice my cursive, and my grandma actually made me do it every single day that summer. Fast forward to grade 7, middle school, and all of the teachers said, I don't care if you use cursive or print as long as I can read it. So why the flip did I even have to learn it? Why? I'm 99% sure my printing suffered because of it, too. And then Sam writes, I think cursive should be taught in school, but as an art subject, maybe along with calligraphy, which makes tons of sense. Hmm. That's a great idea.
And then Nikki M. said, after your discussion on cursive no longer being taught in school, I wanted to tell you guys about a rabbit hole I fell into recently. My daughter has ADHD, which is a whole other thing. So when I saw this video on bullet journaling and how it's good for people with ADHD, I gave it a look over. Anyway, once I discovered this bullet journal planner slash scrapbook, it can be digital too. Not only that, but they have handwriting as a feature.
What?
Different styles of prints, calligraphy options, and cursive writing styles. I've also seen minimalist styles of journaling, which are more focused to male journalers. Is bullet journaling a thing? Is having a digital journal via OneNote and Evernote becoming a thing?
Dude, the digital journal via OneNote and Evernote is really interesting. That I have not heard. Bullet journals have been a thing. They
My sister
they almost thinged out, I think. Although apparently not. I think they must still be like rolling around.
Didn't we talk about it in one of the early seasons of It's a Thing? I feel like that we did.
I think we maybe did, actually. Yeah. Because I bought a daily journal, and then it was like, I'm not going down the bullet journal rabbit hole. Like, that's like way too much for me. I'm not going to do all that. But yeah, it's a big deal. Well, it just goes along with, actually, weirdly, handwriting, right? Coloring, because you know how those like really intricate coloring books are a thing, and journaling, like handwriting overall is kind of making a comeback. So
Nikki is one of the, we got several people suggest this. What about teaching cursive and even calligraphy as part of an art curriculum?
Right. Sam said that. Yeah. Which I think is genius, and says and Sam noted it's inexpensive because all students need are a pen and pencil and some paper. Yeah,
I think that's the future of cursive. It becomes an art.
It could be the future of writing overall, actually. I don't know about you, but I find it harder and harder to write things with my hand.
I still have to write a check every month. I went down from 2 a month to 1 when I moved. Yeah, my old landlord only would take a check. I couldn't write. And I had to write checks for my bills, so it was actually more than 2. Now I have one thing I have to send an actual check to. So that keeps me writing.
Just that one thing.
That one check.
You're like, that's it. Those muscles are, they're still working. And then finally, in the feedback from Patreon, Elodie Mirza wrote and just said, shakshuka, yes. But not every day.
Yeah, that's probably.
It's rich. It's rich.
Probably wise advice.
Every Sunday for brunch.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's rich, not our producer rich.
Oh, right. Yeah, no.
Different.
Not him. We don't eat him.
Not yet. As long as he keeps publishing everything right.
Keep the feedback coming. So we can threaten to eat rich. Feedback at itsathing.me is our email address. You can find all of our episodes if you're new to the show at itsathing.me. And of course, you can become a patron of the show, get all the bonus content, get an ad-free RSS feed, and connect your account to the Discord so you can join us live every week for our recordings.
Yeah. Do all those things and you will be the smartest person in the room next time.
You will. Patreon.com/itsathing.
We'll talk to you next time.
Bye. Give it to me.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.